This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go in the 4 o'clock hour. Welcome back to Gwen and Chris. That was a really fun interview with Mac Barbara from the San Diego State softball team. If you missed any part of that, especially if you got a daughter who likes to play sports.
Definitely.
Especially softball, but any sport.
Yeah.
If you got a daughter out there that plays sports, wants to continue playing sports, have her listen to that interview with Mac Barbara. Have her listen to it maybe 4 times.
Yeah.
Just to understand, you know, does she sound like she's having fun or what?
She does.
Right? I mean, you know, it wasn't about, you know, her. Sure, she's very successful. Her hitting, her statistics are ridiculous. Her team's been great. But she's just having so much fun in life. And you can, it comes right through the interview.
Oh, it totally does.
So, you know, everybody should be that, should be enjoying themselves as much as Mac Barbara is. And your daughter out there, or even your son for that matter, take a page from that.
Yeah.
You're going to go out and play. Have fun, do well, you know, have your goals in mind, but don't forget, you know, above everything else, it's just a game and you should enjoy it.
My friend texted me during that, and I saw it after the fact, but they said, I'm ready to go play some softball for my co-ed team tonight.
She does mash. I've seen her hit before. It's great. When she gets a hold of one, long gone, baby. Way out of there. She can hit some towering drives. So that was great having her on. I hope that they, you know, make another run. They got within one game of the College World Series last year. You know, all the attention on Brian Dutcher's team, et cetera. The Aztec softball team was that close to the College World Series themselves last year, and they'll have another chance at it this year. All right, we got Chris versus the Fans coming up. Chance to qualify for the big prize. 2-night stay at the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino. 2 tickets to see Warrant, Lita Ford, and Paralandra on June the 22nd. You can celebrate my birthday and get ready for an unforgettable night of pure rock. Well, it is my birthday.
I know.
An unforgettable night of pure rock bliss. Warrant, Lita Ford, Paralandra. They crank it out. They're going to blow the roof off of the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com. I don't think they're literally saying they're going to blow the roof off. That would be pretty impressive.
Well, yes. I'm surprised that they're using that expression in this day and
age. The Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino features newly designed premier rooms, part of their $70 million room renovations, home of legendary Vegas fun. It is time for Chris versus the Fans.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
You have to make it through 3 questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win if you're a first-time
player.
That was interesting.
Well, we're all fired up.
We
after
are. We
Mac
are fired
Barbara.
Up. Yes, we are.
Yeah.
If you're a first-time player, let us know before you get into it because you get that first question for free.
Somebody,
today.
You know, do me a favor, Scraby, before Friday, put a phone call into the Virginia Tech softball team. See if you can get their coach on the
Oh, yeah?
See if you can get their coach on the show. I just want to tell them one thing.
What?
Please throw a strike to Mack Barber. She really wants to hit.
They're going to be like, you called me on to say that.
She was so funny. She's like, I hate when they walk me. Come on. I just want one pitch. So she can smash it.
I'll get right on that for you, Chris.
I know. We're not going to do that, but I'm trying to help my newfound friend Mack out.
All right. Let's start with Carlos. Let's go, Carlos.
Hi, Carlos.
Are you there?
Hello.
Hello.
Not a first-time player.
Okay. Still right. Fun to say, though.
We start with question number one, Carlos. What is the ESPN gambling app called?
Is it DraftKings?
No, unfortunately not. I don't know that Chris actually knows this, though.
Unfortunately, I do.
Oh, okay.
I don't like to admit it, but I've seen it on the website. They're flashing. They've been promoting it, you know, like crazy. ESPN Bet.
Sorry, Carlos.
Betting.
Thank you for playing. Play again.
Thanks, Carlos. Give it another shot.
Yes, it is ESPN Bet. You can't go anywhere without seeing it.
Hey, pretty much. I'm surprised Carlos hadn't.
Well, I guess they don't go to sports sites. Maybe they don't go to sports sites like we do every single day. And you're just hit in the face with ESPN Bet.
I spent half my life on ESPN.com, so that's fair.
You should probably go to a different website. Like,
why? Do I not get all the information I need?
Never mind. Let's move on.
Okay.
Let's go to Jason in San Diego. Jason, are you there?
Hi, Jason.
How are you guys doing?
Very good. Good.
Very good. Are you ready to play?
I think so. Yep, he's
okay.
Ready.
Okay. Here we go. What do we call the runner that is placed on second in extra innings?
We call that runner the ghost runner.
The ghost runner is correct. I love the ghost runner, even though it makes no sense.
As Mark Grant says, why do we call him the ghost runner? We can see him right there.
Yes. That's what I meant by the ghost runner. I love the name, but it makes no sense.
No, Mark Grant says the same thing.
All right, here we go. Question number two. What father-son tandem have both appeared on the cover of MLB The Show?
That would be Vladimir Guerrero Sr.
Wow. That was pretty good.
Not have gotten that. I was thinking there's no way Bobby Bonds was on there.
Or Fernando's
or
dad.
Or Ken Griffey Sr. Or
no, they weren't good enough.
Fernando Sr. I was like, who would the Cecil Fielder? No.
Cecil Fielder.
Very good.
That is good.
Good
All
get,
right.
Jason. I would not have got that.
Here we
well
go,
done.
Jason. Question.
Although, you know,
three.
I will say this. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., from what I've heard, has been slumping badly.
He has.
He's somehow lost the touch.
He has.
So has Bo Bichette, by the way. Both of them have had terrible seasons so far.
Well, you know, it's the MLB The Show cover curse.
No,
for Vladdy Jr.
Okay.
All right, here we go, Jason. Question number three. What three Padres were on base for Manny last night in the ninth inning with two outs?
Manny.
Let's see. We had...
Okay.
Donald and Kim.
Who was the second one? You said Tatis, Kim?
Campusano.
Okay. Stay there.
All right. Manny batted fourth. So the two guys right before him walked. Third, Jake. Tatis. Arise got out. Now, the great catch. We forgot about that catch that guy made in the ninth inning for Colorado.
Oh, yes, that was a great
catch.
That
was a hell of a catch.
It was like, I literally said, of course.
Oh, he had no chance of catching that, and he made the play.
Of course.
And then before Arise, the guy walked was Kim. So I got it with Kim, Tatis, and Cronenworth.
Wow. I'm sorry, Jason. You played a great game.
Good playing.
That was a great game.
Yeah, he was on it.
All right. Let's go to our next contestant. You know what? We haven't got a call from our guy Brandon in a while.
Well, let's check in.
Let's go, Brandon.
Hello, Brandon.
Guys, how we doing? To head down to the game.
Good. All right. Good. All right. Nice
Enjoy
job.
Enjoy tonight.
Are you going to go see Sammy Leff?
Yeah, I did last night. I think I will tonight.
Of course.
Okay. Tell him that Chris has needs to speak with him, and just tell him that, and that's it.
What do I need to speak to him about?
Nothing. Okay. He just would be fun.
Oh, you're
to
just
have...
throwing him off?
Yes, I'm just throwing him off the scent. Don't actually do
Chris
that.
Chris has something crucial to tell you tonight.
Don't actually do that because he has a lot of stuff going on at that time.
Freak out.
All right, Brandon, here we go. Question number one. What is the name of the giant circular video display in Las Vegas?
The Sphere.
The Sphere is correct. Let's
Where
go.
I went and saw a show at
you
the
did.
Sphere.
You did. You said it was amazing.
Sphere. It's okay. The outside's better than the inside.
All right. Here we go.
So don't feel like you have to pay thousands of dollars to go inside and see a show.
I won't.
It's
I
just
won't.
Cool to look at from the outside.
I won't. All right.
And that's free.
That is free.
Yeah.
Okay. Except for when we go and it's broken. No. Shohei Ohtani was AL Rookie of the Year in 2018. Which Ooh. National League East player won the National League Rookie of the Year that year?
I think it was Acuna.
Acuna. I knew Brandon was going to know this.
That
is correct.
It.
Brandon knows his baseball.
Brandon's on it.
All right. Final question. You get this.
What
you
was
are
that
all
year?
Qualified.
2018?
Yes.
See, I didn't think Acuna had been... I wouldn't have got that either.
I thought...
Because that means he's been in the league, what, 6 years?
I guess so.
Wow.
Lost what, like an entire season or half a
season
to an ACL?
Well, that's true.
Anyway, here we go, Brandon. Question number three.
For the win.
All right, I'm going to give you four players' names, and you're going to have to name this baseball team they played for in the 90s. Roger Clemens.
That's an interesting way to ask a question.
Okay. You approve.
Oh, yeah, so right. far.
Roger Clemens, Jose Canseco, Kevin Mitchell, and Mo Vaughn. What team did they play for?
The Red Sox.
Wow! That is impressive.
Kevin Mitchell played for the Red Sox? I did not know.
Wow. Wow, Brandon. That was impressive. You hang right on because...
Clemens only played for, what, three teams? Red Sox, Blue Jays, and Yankees.
Well, let me go make sure.
So you can eliminate the other ones.
Let me go.
That's the only, I mean, I'm giving Brandon all the
credit. No, I know, but would you have gotten
that? Giving him all the credit in the world. I guess I would have. I really didn't know Kevin Mitchell played for the Red Sox.
He played for one season.
Okay, yeah. Mo Vaughn and Canseco definitely played for the Red Sox.
And I actually believe he even got traded in that season from the Red Sox to the...
That was pretty good, though. I kind of like that idea of a question. It's not bad. That's the first time you've asked one like that. Brandon cashes in.
That was a very random Kevin Mitchell reference because I'm looking now. He had like 30 games with the team before he was
traded. That's what I said. I didn't recall him playing for them. But that's good for Brandon. He's on his way to, hopefully he'll be on his way to Las Vegas when it's all said and done. He's certainly in the drawing for the grand prize. We have to step aside here shortly. Padres lineup, if you're wondering, for tonight's game against former Padre Cal Quantrill. And we mentioned this earlier, but Cal Quantrill has pitched quite well of late. And I'm, you know, not going to even remotely suggest that this is a gimme again against these guys. Cause
no, please don't.
I think we've had to learn our lesson by now. Same Padre lineup tonight as it was last night. And interestingly, exactly same Rocky lineup tonight as it was last night. So neither manager making a change.
Did Clemens play for the Astros too?
Oh, yes, Astros.
Okay.
Thank you.
Just making
yes.
sure.
Four teams.
No problem.
The Rocket.
He wasn't a very nice guy, was he? From what I hear.
Didn't seem like he was.
From what I hear.
I don't know. I think he was juiced up on a lot. And I think that affected his attitude.
Probably.
Like the time he grabbed Mike Piazza's broken bat and threw it at him.
Yep.
Mike Piazza's still looking at him to this day like, what are you doing? Nobody understood that one.
I do remember
that. Was weird.
All right.
I'm more Gwen and Chris after traffic.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to Gwen and Chris. Rolling along here on a Tuesday get-together coming up on the Padres pregame show, the Eco Water SoCal pregame show. Sam Levitt a bit later on. Then, of course, a little after 6:30 tonight, the Padres will try to settle their score with the Rockies, game two of a three-game series. But also tonight, we have some pretty good hoops. The NBA playoffs continue tonight. The question I have for you, Tony Gwynn Jr.
Yes, sir.
Will the NBA playoffs be more watched and or talked about tonight than the WNBA season opening debut of Caitlin Clark for the Indiana Fever against the Connecticut Sun?
That, my friend, is an actually fair question.
I know.
But I do think it'll be the playoffs.
It'll still be the playoffs, huh?
It'll be the playoffs. I think it's going to be easier to find it. You know, I'm not quite sure where the WNBA is.
No, the WNBA opener's on ESPN2 tonight, okay. The Fever Sun game.
I thought you were going
to
say Ocho first.
No, not the Ocho. It's on the deuce, baby.
It's on the deuce. I still think it'll be the playoffs considering who's playing tonight.
Yeah.
And I believe we got Denver, Minnesota.
Denver, Minnesota after the Knicks play Indiana.
Yeah, those are these are the two marquee series, in my opinion, right here.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think Dallas and who are they playing?
OKC. Yeah.
Are a close second, but I think it's this Knicks series and it's this Denver Minnesota series that have been the two best series so far. So for that reason, I think it'll outdo Caitlin Clark's debut today. But I mean, the fact that we're having this conversation just kind of again highlights how far and how well things have gone for really women's sports in general, but specifically the women's basketball.
Yeah, so, this is the most anticipated WNBA season opening night in history by a wide margin.
It's
so
not close.
We'll definitely be keeping an eye on Caitlin Clark. But, you know, I think you're right. We're deep enough into the playoffs now. We're deep enough into these two series. And the only thing I can say about both series, the Knicks and Pacers and the T-Wolves Nuggets, is that I thought I had them both figured out, Tony, and it turns out I don't have either of them figured out. Because I thought the Knicks were looking great, and they were looking great after two games. They go to Indiana, lose a close game, and then they just get destroyed in game four.
Yeah, that was a surprise.
They don't show up. And then, you know, the same goes for the T-Wolves, who won the first two games in Denver, looked to be in complete command, only to see the champs come back on the road and look like the champs. So It's the old pivotal game fives tonight, and I honestly am not quite sure which way they'll go. Let's start with the Knicks and Pacers. What do you think is going to happen?
What's the format? Is it 2-3-2 or is it 2-3-1-1?
No, it's 2-2-1-1. They're back in New York tonight. So
okay, so I like the Knicks at home. I do. I can't imagine them playing a third bad game. I like them. They're at home. They've played well at home. I like them at home. More importantly, I don't see Brunson having as bad of a game as he had this last one. That trio of DiVincenzo, Brunson,
Josh Hart. Yeah, the Villanova gang.
The Villanova gang has been vital in their wins, and they've kind of shrunk in their losses. So
right. They're
going back home. I think they'll be able to kind of get it going again, and I expect them to take a 3-2 lead. Now, on the flip,
if they lose this game tonight, expect Reggie Miller to somehow show up in Madison Square Garden giving the choke sign. I'll say that.
it wouldn't be right if he did show up.
That's right.
Without a choke sign in New York.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, in terms of the other game,
yeah,
I think this is a much more difficult task. I think, as you said, Minnesota was in control. I mean, they could have even lost one game at home. As long as they get the second or the first and lose the second, they get neither. And now you got to go back and do something that really hadn't been done until they did it. So you're going to get a third win on the road in Denver. I think that's going to be a tough task. I won't be surprised. Although I want to see Minnesota do it, and I know they got the wild card and Anthony Edwards, this is still the defending champs. I mean, I just think it was such a blown opportunity for the T-Wolves not to get one in at home.
Yeah.
Because now, you know, you're going to have to pull off something, as I said, that's not easy to do. Beat them in their building three straight times.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine that happening. But Minnesota seems like, I think they have the personnel to do it.
I agree.
But Rudy Gobert, and
we touched
on this yesterday, he is not just the one-time defensive player of the year in the NBA, which he won again this year. He is a four-time NBA defensive player of the year. And, you know, I watched an entire game four in Minnesota, as you said, Tony, key game, everything on the line, chance to really stick it to the Nuggets. And Rudy Gobert had zero impact in that
game.
And I mean almost less than zero. Nikola Jokic was doing whatever he damn well pleased in that game, and Gobert was helpless to stop it. Now, after the game, Gobert blamed the loss on the fact that Aaron Gordon was just so hot, you know, and made 11 out of 12 shots. But I blame the game on Gobert for not having any impact at all on Jokic.
Like,
in the first half when Denver was building their lead, I mean, you got to see something if you're a four-time defensive player of the year.
Yeah, listen, Chris, nobody's saying, hey, you got to go out and hold Joker to 0 points. That's not what they're asking.
No.
But make it difficult on him at least, right?
Yeah.
Like, force him to shoot a high volume in order to get the amount of points that he has. Don't give him free reign in the key to do. Here's the thing. For however many, if we said four-time defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
And there has been so many people complaining about him. I mean, Shaq's been one of them, Draymond. This is why they complain, right? Because you're getting the defensive player of the year. And I don't know about you, Chris, but if you're the defensive player of the year, I don't care who's on the other side. You should be making it hard for them.
I couldn't agree more, Tony.
And
I was
just
flabbergasted
seems like Joker
the other night.
In the last two games, last two games. I would even say three games because he had a good one in one of those games that they lost.
Yeah, he had a good game in game one against Gobert, and then in game two he had a terrible game when Gobert didn't play.
That's exactly
what does that tell you about Gobert?
This is why guys like Shaq say what they say.
They should keep saying it.
Because, the fact that you're the defensive player of the year and you're just allowing Joker to have, you know, his way, basically, other than the game that you didn't play in.
Yeah.
And that might have been because Joker was like, okay, he's not here. I'm not going to just have free will.
Yeah.
My point is, he needs to show up probably more than anybody else on that roster tonight.
Couldn't agree more. You know you're going to get Anthony Edwards going to get 30 or 40 points tonight. And I know that they're comparing Anthony Edwards to Jordan, and even Anthony Edwards has said, please, let's stop, please stop with all of that.
Right.
However, the one comparison that I'm seeing to Jordan is I had a flashback to the early, late 80s days of Jordan when he used to score 30 or 40 every playoff game and looked around and he was losing the game because no one else was doing anything to help him.
Right.
That's what I saw in Game 4 and in Game 3. Minnesota's supporting cast was nil. So that's why I'm really excited to just see how it's going to go tonight.
Yeah.
But I'm, you know, you got to give Denver a lot of credit. I thought they were toast after the first two games, and they've showed back up, you know, like a champ. And that's, you know, that's
what champs do.
That's what they're supposed to do. So it'll be a fun evening of NBA hoops. A couple of pivotal game fives there. We'll keep our eye on those. But for now, we'll take a quick break. More Gwynn and Chris coming up. Lots to do. Heading towards the 5:30 Sam Levitt Padre pregame show on 97.3 The Fan.
Ben and Woods on The Fan.
Ben has just walked in. Good morning, Benjamin.
Good morning, Woods.
How are you?
I am okay.
Okay.
Already had the old lid wasn't all the way up.
That's the time, Crisello. Matt Scraby. Tony Gwynn Jr. down at Petco Park. Heading down to Petco Park myself tonight, Scraby. I heard you might be taking in the ball game as well this evening.
Yes, I may end up showing up late.
So all three of us could be on the grounds tonight.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, hard for the Padres to lose under those circumstances.
I don't know.
Sammy Levitt will have, I know. The Rockies, now I think, I'm honestly starting to think anything's, you know, kind of possible now with the Rockies. I've tried to give up complete hope that, I mean, not complete hope, but just, you know, just tried to dismiss the fact that the Rockies should ever be able to beat the Padres, but it's been happening for so long now and so annoyingly so.
That's the thing. It's like every team has that one team.
Yeah. And everybody tells me too, Chris, stop it. We always lose to the Rockies. I'm like, not this year.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
To tell a quick story before we get into this, and it has to do with Chris and I. And so Chris was behind me at a light today, and I was like, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna stick my finger out the window and give him the bird. And because he was right behind me.
Because you're a Padre fan and you think I'm a Dodger fan?
No, just because I wanted to.
Oh, just for the
S's and G's, if you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
Well, I looked back as soon as I did this, and Chris was not looking, and the person that was near him was looking around like, is this guy giving me the bird? So I just ended up giving it to the intersection, and
you
Chris
got what
didn't
you deserve.
Even see it.
You got what you deserve for doing something rude.
Didn't even see
and
it.
And obnoxious. I didn't see it at all.
It's hard to flip somebody the bird and it land good if they didn't do something that would have their attention on you.
I just figured Chris would know. Just know. I
didn't that even you were going to flip him the bird
I didn't
randomly?
Even see you there.
Oh, I know. He was looking down. We were at a stoplight. I should have done better. I should have looked and made sure that he was looking. So I just ended up giving the bird to the entire intersection. But...
So if you were at that, so if you happened to be at that intersection a couple of hours ago today, yes, that was Scraby giving all of you the bird.
Yes, that was. Just another day in Matt Scraby's life.
Number five.
Now, I was saying that to start us off with something fun.
Some levity.
We do have a very serious topic in the Big Five, and we also have this topic right now, and that would be Manny Machado. Now, we know last night Manny grounded into a double play to end the game, and we know it was first pitch, and we know they did not win the game last night.
Okay.
Now, the word around the street right now is that Manny's not clutch anymore. I looked at some numbers, and they don't look good so far. But
so far in what?
Like late this year, like late and close and things like that. And it's too early to tell. All of that stuff. 2 weeks ago, Manny was the hero of the game against the Reds. Tony, I hate to even ask it. Is Manny Machado still clutch?
Yes, he's still clutch. He just hasn't been clutch in the 4 or 5 instances this season. How many at bats did you pull up?
Let me go grab everything.
I believe he had him at 1 for 5 or something.
Okay, no. Again, this is not me.
He won the Reds game just 2 weeks ago.
This is not me.
Probably the most clutch hit of the season.
I agree.
Mike Shildt took a run off the board.
He did.
And showed his faith in Manny Machado, who then promptly came through.
He did.
What I want to know while you're looking this up is why is it only Manny Machado that isn't clutch?
Right.
Luis Campusano flied out with the bases loaded.
But he had a home run on Friday against Tyler Glasnow.
So what? I mean, obviously
Manny Machado emptied the bases last
night. Right. I mean, people are obviously referring to last night's game and they're being upset. I mean, the team went 0 for 6 with runners in scoring position.
Yes.
That was not all Manny Machado. Practically everybody in the lineup had at least one shot to drive in a run last night.
Here are his clutch stats, and again, I'm just a messenger.
Go ahead.
2 outs with runners in scoring position. He's hitting .188 right now.
What's the
over
bats,
how many at bats?
Not many. 16.
Yeah, it's 3 for 16.
Late and close, same. 16 at bats, hitting .125.
And if he gets 2 hits the next 2 times he's in that situation, he'll be over .300. Hitting late and close.
Is that how math works?
Pretty much, yes. When you have that few of a number of at-bats.
Sorry,
I'm stepping on Tony's answer.
You're not stepping on it. This is the same answer you're going to have. So
is Manny Machado still clutch, Chris?
It's a little early to give up on the guy. Yes, he's still clutch.
All right.
Honestly, 3 for 16. If you go 3 for your next 4 in that same situation, which is highly probable or possible, you would then be at an even 6 for 20, which is .300. So it can change like that.
Even if he goes 2 for his next 4.
Yes,
won't be at .300, but he'll be certainly efficient enough to be in that spot.
This is a little weird. I mean, I know everybody's upset last night. We're all upset, but
I tweeted out last night, you know, first pitch swinging, not my favorite, but it's not Manny. It's not Manny's fault.
What is your favorite, Scraby?
How about when he first pitched, swings, and drives in three? Do you like that a little better?
Yes. It's not so much the fact that Manny swung on the first pitch himself because he saw a ball that he liked. It was a fastball in the zone. Why is he not going to try to hit it?
He just rolled it over. That's it.
He did, but we won't go down this road. I've already asked the question. We've already talked about this, so we're not going to go back down.
Get yourself out of this conundrum.
I'm just the messenger.
Yeah, but you're enjoying too much
being
the messenger.
You have a good face for the messenger, though, so it's like you can definitely feel like it's coming from you.
Oh, man. This team can't win. I can just tell you that.
Number 4.
This is an extremely serious topic, so I wanted to say that first. But okay. For the first time since December 22nd, former Illinois basketball player Terrence Shannon Jr. spoke to reporters during media availability at the NBA Draft Combine in Chicago today. That broke a near 6-month media silence for the Illinois basketball star since he was arrested on a charge of rape in Kansas in late December. He won a federal case to have his team suspension overturned and led Illinois to a Big Ten tournament title, an Elite Eight appearance with one of the best seasons in Illini basketball history. But after a preliminary hearing last week, Shannon was ordered to stand trial on June 10th for first-degree felony rape and felony sexual aggravated battery charges stemming from an alleged incident that happened on September 9th, 2023 at Jayhawk Cafe while Shannon was attending the Illinois at Kansas football game. So, Chris, you're up first on this one. Sorry about that. The NBA draft is going to be just 17 days after this trial starts, but do you think that he will be drafted by an NBA team?
Oh, boy, I don't know. You're putting it's all in a difficult spot. I don't like when people that get caught up in this kind of stuff are then, for lack of a better term, somehow rewarded along the way. I mean, in a perfect world, I don't even know that, you know, Illinois should have let him play basketball this year. But I'm sure they fell back on we're going to wait for the court process to work itself out. And until then, he's innocent until proven guilty. So innocent till proven guilty is going to probably allow him to be in a situation where he'll get drafted. I personally, you know, I'm old school and a little tired of all these things. I feel like there's probably another basketball player that's every bit as good as
Terrence Shannon,
that isn't going to bring this baggage along with him. And if this is totally a fugazi and he's completely, totally innocent, I feel really, really bad for him for being in the wrong place at the wrong time. But I personally kind of getting tired of a lot of this stuff.
All right, that's fair. Tony, do you think he'll be drafted by an NBA team?
That's your question. No, I don't think he will.
Okay.
And it's not fair, actually, if that's how we're going to look at it. Now, I don't think he's going to get drafted because of the baggage that it is, but we've all grown up in a society in which you're innocent until proven guilty. And so, I mean, everything Chris just said goes against everything that we've all grew up in and have lived under. So, by that standard, I think by the way, the school didn't allow him to play.
Yeah,
he took him to court.
Oh, right. Yeah,
and then that allowed him to play because the court system said you're innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah,
so, I don't know if he'll get drafted or not, but I know his stock. This dude, was going to be like a top 15 pick somewhere around there, right?
Yep.
And so I highly doubt that anybody's going to draft him that high.
Yeah.
The NBA seems like all of the major sports, when somebody has like this kind of baggage, like they try to stay away from it. I feel like
it's unfortunate in this day and age that even when you're accused
is reported, he actually did. Oh, he should go to jail for sure.
Yeah, yeah, no, I agree. And it just without knowing if he's guilty or innocent, I just have to say it. Just being accused sometimes is enough to ruin someone's dreams, which is...
We see that often.
Yeah, and that's terrible. There was a football player who recently was cleared of any wrongdoing.
Well, he was a punter at San Diego State
time. That's not who I was talking
about. That's not who you're talking about.
That's a great example.
But that's an example of it right there.
Yes, that is.
He just recently signed.
He finally got signed again, yeah. But
where'd he go?
I forgot. Oh. But honestly, no. Ariza?
Yeah,
he was signed.
Arise.
He was signed. Right. He was definitely signed.
Wait, we have too many Arises going on.
Arise and Arise. What was my
Matt Ariza,
name?
I believe it.
Matt Ariza, that's right.
Yeah, that is a great example of what we're talking about here because he was cleared of wrongdoing, but it cost him his job.
It did for 2 years.
It did.
In his case, right, he wasn't even there, right? Is that what we ended up finding out?
I believe that's correct. I believe that the police found out he wasn't even there. He was at the party at some point, but he wasn't there when the alleged stuff happened.
Right.
But, yeah, anyway.
Number three.
All right, back to fun sports topics. Jared Goff. Or Jeff Goff, whichever you're choosing today, has proven to the Lions he is a big part of their future. And with that, the Lions have rewarded him a contract extension worth $212 million over 4 years. That includes $170 million guaranteed. It makes Goff, who will be 34 when the deal is done, the highest paid player in franchise history. Now, his $53 million average annual salary makes him the second highest paid quarterback in the NFL behind only Cincinnati Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow at $55 million. Tony, was this the right move for the Lions?
Yes. I think, you got me all messed up now. Jared Goff. I think he is having a blast right now. After the Rams gave up on him, shipped him off to Detroit. At the time, it felt like he was sending him to Siberia, basically. And, you know, this dude is freaking balling now. Got his team to, an NFC championship game, right?
Yep.
On the cusp of winning it before they gave it up to the Niners.
It wasn't his fault that the Lions lost. Seriously, it wasn't Jared Goff's fault that the Lions lost. It was Brock Purdy's greatness.
Yes, it was the greatness of the 49ers. I knew that was coming.
He couldn't wait to get there.
You're so odd.
When I wrote this question this morning, I've been waiting.
We could see that coming from 18 miles away.
And it felt just as good to get it out of my head.
And it felt great to have you yell it in my ear as well.
I think he should be. The Detroit Lions did the right thing. The kneecap cannibal, Dan Campbell.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I think he's poured a bunch of pot. I think he's poured into Jared Goff that he believes in him. And I think it seemed like Jared was searching for some of that for a while. And so now to have a head coach that is it believes in you. I think that means a lot. So, yeah, I think Detroit did the right thing.
Chris?
You said they made him the highest paid Lion in history, right?
Yep.
He's already accomplished something that Barry Sanders never accomplished.
Yep.
And something that Megatron never accomplished.
What's that?
And something that any other player wearing a Lions uniform that I can think of ever accomplished. Got to the NFC Championship game and
Barry
got within
Sanders
one
never
game.
Got to the NFC Championship?
Barry Sanders won one playoff game in his entire career.
I thought maybe he got to the NFC Championship.
That's why everybody
once.
is so mad at Detroit.
I mean, Detroit's like... been the worst franchise in the NFL for 40 years. I mean, with Jared Goff has got them thinking that they could even get to a Super Bowl. That in and itself makes him worth every penny they're paying. So good for him.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
To tell a quick story before we get into this, and it has to do with Chris and I. And so Chris was behind me at a light today, and I was like, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna stick my finger out the window and give him the bird. And because he was right behind me.
Because you're a Padre fan and you think I'm a Dodger fan?
No, just because I wanted to.
Oh, just for
the S's and G's, if you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
Well, I looked back as soon as I did this, and Chris was not looking, and the person that was near him was looking around like, is this guy giving me the bird? So I just ended up giving it to the intersection, and
you
Chris
got what
didn't
you deserve.
Even see it.
You got what you deserve for doing something rude.
I didn't even see
and
it.
And obnoxious. I didn't see it
rude
at all.
It's hard to flip somebody the bird and it land good if they didn't do something that would have their attention on you.
I just figured Chris would know. Just know.
I didn't that even, you were going to flip him the bird
I didn't
randomly?
Even see you there.
Oh, I know. He was looking down. We were at a stoplight. I should have done better. I should have looked and made sure that he was looking. So I just ended up giving the bird to the entire intersection. But...
So if you were at that, so if you happened to be at that intersection a couple of hours ago today, yes, that was Scraby giving all of you the bird.
Yes, that was. Just another day in Matt Scraby's life.
Number five.
Now, I was saying that to start us off with something fun.
Some levity.
We do have a very serious topic in the Big Five, and we also have this topic right now, and that would be Manny Machado. Now, we know last night Manny grounded into a double play to end the game, and we know it was first pitch, and we know they did not win the game last night.
Okay.
Now, the word around the street right now is that Manny's not clutch anymore. I looked at some numbers, and they don't look good so far. But
so far in what?
Like late this year, like late and close and things like that. And it's too early to tell. All of that stuff. 2 weeks ago, Manny was the hero of the game against the Reds. Tony, I hate to even ask it. Is Manny Machado still clutch?
Yes, he's still clutch. He just hasn't been clutch in the four or five instances this season. How many at-bats did you pull up?
Let me go grab everything.
I believe he had him at 1-for-5 or something.
Okay, no. See, again, this is not me.
He won the Reds game just 2 weeks ago.
This is not me.
Probably the most clutch hit of the season.
I agree.
Mike Schilt took a run off the board.
He did.
And showed his faith in Manny Machado, who then promptly came through.
He did.
What I want to know while you're looking this up is why is it only Manny Machado that isn't clutch?
Right.
Luis Campusano flied out with the bases loaded.
But he had a home run on Friday against Tyler Glasnow.
So what? I mean, obviously
Manny Machado emptied the bases last month.
Right, I mean, people are obviously referring to last night's game, and they're being upset. I mean, the team went 0-for-6 with runners in scoring position.
Yes.
That was not all Manny Machado. Practically everybody in the lineup had at least one shot to drive in a run last night.
Here are his clutch stats, and again, I'm just a messenger.
Go ahead.
Two outs with runners in scoring position. He's hitting 188 right now.
What's the
over
bats,
how many at bats?
Not many. 16.
Yeah, it's 3 for 16.
Late and close, same. 16 at bats, hitting 125.
And if he gets two hits the next two times he's in that situation, he'll be over 300. Hitting late and close.
Is that how math works?
Pretty much, yes. When you have that few of a number of at-bats.
Sorry,
I'm stepping on Tony's answer.
No, you're not stepping on it. This is the same answer you're going to have. So, yes.
So, is Manny Machado still clutch, Chris?
It's a little early to give up on the guy. Yes, he's still clutch.
All right.
Honestly, 3 for 16. If you go 3 for your next 4 in that same situation, which is highly probable or possible, you would then be at an even 6 for 20, which is 300. So it can change like that.
Even if he goes 2 for his next 4.
Yes, he would.
He won't be at 300, but he'll be certainly efficient enough to be in that spot. Like,
yeah, this is a little weird. I mean, I know everybody's upset last night. We're all upset, but
I don't. I tweeted out last night, you know, first pitch swinging, not my favorite, but that's not, it's not Manny. It's not Manny's fault.
First pitch. What is your favorite, Scraby?
How about when he first pitch swings and drives in 3?
No,
is that
fine.
Do you like that a little better?
Yes. It's not so much the fact that Manny swung on the first pitch himself because he saw a ball that he liked. It was a fastball in the zone. Why is he not
just rolled
it
over? That's it.
He did, but we won't go down this road. I've already asked the question. We've already talked about this, so we're not going to go back down.
Get yourself out of this conundrum.
I'm just the messenger.
Yeah, but you're enjoying too much
no,
being
I'm not.
The messenger.
You have a good face for the messenger, though, so it's like you can definitely feel like it's coming from you.
Oh, man. This team can't win. I can just tell you that.
Number 4.
This is an extremely serious topic, so I wanted to say that first. But okay. For the first time since December 22nd, former Illinois basketball player Terrence Shannon Jr. spoke to reporters during media availability at the NBA Draft Combine in Chicago today. That broke a near six-month media silence for the Illinois basketball star since he was arrested on a charge of rape in Kansas in late December. He won a federal case to have his team suspension overturned and led Illinois to a Big Ten tournament title and Elite Eight appearance with one of the best seasons in Illini basketball history. But after a preliminary hearing last week, Shannon was ordered to stand trial on June 10th for first-degree felony rape and felony sexual aggravated battery charges stemming from an alleged incident that happened on September 9th, 2023 at Jayhawk Cafe while Shannon was attending the Illinois at Kansas football game. So, Chris, you're up first on this one. Sorry about that. The NBA draft is going to be just 17 days after this trial starts, but do you think that he will be drafted by an NBA team?
Oh, boy, I don't know. You're putting it, it's all in a difficult spot. I don't like when people that get caught up in this kind of stuff are then, for lack of a better term, somehow rewarded along the way. I mean, in a perfect world, I don't even know that, you know, Illinois should have let him play basketball this year. But I'm sure they fell back on the, well, we're going to wait for the court process to work itself out. And until then, he's innocent until proven guilty. So innocent till proven guilty is going to probably allow him to be in a situation where he'll get drafted. I personally, you know, I'm old school and a little tired of all these things. I feel like there's probably another basketball player that's every bit as good as
Terrence Shannon
that isn't going to bring this baggage along with him. And if this is totally a fugazi and he's completely, totally innocent, I feel really, really bad for him for being in the wrong place at the wrong time. But I personally kind of getting tired of a lot of this stuff.
All right, that's fair. Tony, do you think he'll be drafted by an NBA team?
That's your question. No, I don't think he will.
Okay.
And it's not fair, actually, if that's how we're going to look at it. Now, I don't think he's going to get drafted because of the baggage that it is, but we've all grown up in a society in which you're innocent until proven guilty. And so, I mean, everything Chris just said goes against everything that we've all grew up in and have lived under. So, by that standard, no. I think By the way, the school didn't allow him to play.
Yeah, they held him out.
Took him to court.
Oh, right. Yeah,
and
okay.
And then that allowed him to play because the court system said you're innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if he'll get drafted or not, but I know his stock. This dude, was going to be like a top 15 pick somewhere around there, right?
Yep.
And so I highly doubt that anybody's going to draft him that high.
Yeah.
The NBA seems like all of the major sports, when somebody has like this kind of baggage, like they try to stay away from it. I feel like
it's unfortunate in this day and age that even when you're accused
is reported, he actually did. Oh, he should go to jail for sure.
Yeah, yeah, no, I agree. And it just without knowing if he's guilty or innocent, I just have to say it. Just being accused sometimes is enough to ruin someone's dreams, which is...
We see that often.
Yeah, and that's terrible. There was a football player who recently was cleared of any wrongdoing.
Well, he was a punter at San Diego State time.
But that's not who I was talking about.
But that's not who you're talking about.
That's a great example.
But that's an example of it right there.
Yes, that is.
So he hasn't even... He just recently signed.
He finally got signed again, yeah. But
where'd he go?
I forgot. Oh. But honestly, no. Ariza?
Yeah,
yeah, he was signed.
Arise.
He was signed.
Right.
He was definitely signed.
Wait, we have too many Arises going on.
Wait, now I'm confusing Arise and what was my
Matt Ariza,
name again?
I believe it.
Matt Ariza, that's
yeah.
right.
Yeah, that is a great example of what we're talking about here because he was cleared of wrongdoing, but it cost him his job.
It did for 2 years.
It did.
In his case, right, he wasn't even there, right? Is that what we ended up finding out?
I believe that's correct. I believe that the police found out he wasn't even there. He was at the party at some point, but he wasn't there when the alleged stuff happened.
Right.
But, yeah, anyway.
Number three.
All right, back to fun sports topics. Jared Goff. Or Jeff Goff, whichever you're choosing today, has proven to the Lions he is a big part of their future. And with that,
jerk,
the Lions have rewarded him a contract extension worth $212 million over 4 years. That includes $170 million guaranteed. It makes Goff, who will be 34 when the deal is done, the highest paid player in franchise history. Now, his $53 million average annual salary makes him the second highest paid quarterback in the NFL, behind only Cincinnati Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow at $55 million. Tony, was this the right move for the Lions?
Yes. I think, you got me all messed up now. Jared Goff. I think he is having a blast right now. After the Rams gave up on him, shipped him off to Detroit. At the time, it felt like he was sending him to Siberia, basically. And, you know, this dude is freaking balling now. Got his team to, an NFC championship game, right?
Yep.
On the cusp of winning it before they gave it up to the Niners.
It wasn't his fault that the Lions lost. Seriously, it wasn't Jared Goff's fault that the Lions lost. It was Brock Purdy's greatness.
Yes, it was the greatness of the 49ers. Yeah. I knew that was coming.
He couldn't wait to get there.
You're so odd.
You know when I wrote this question this morning? I've been waiting.
We could see that coming from 18 miles away.
And it felt just as good to get it out of my
head. And it felt great to have you yell it in my ear as well.
I think he should be. The Detroit Lions did the right thing. The kneecap cannibal, Dan Campbell.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I think he's poured a bunch of pot. I think he's poured into Jared Goff that he believes in him. And I think it seemed like Jared was searching for some of that for a while. And so now to have a head coach that is it believes in you, I think that means a lot. So, yeah, I think Detroit did the right thing.
Chris?
You said they made him the highest paid Lion in history, right?
Yep.
He's already accomplished something that Barry Sanders never accomplished.
Yep.
And something that Megatron never accomplished.
What's that?
And something that any other player wearing a Lions uniform that I can think of ever accomplished. Got to the NFC Championship game and
Barry
got within
Sanders
one
got
game.
To the NFC Championship?
Barry Sanders won one playoff game in his entire career.
I thought maybe he got to the NFC Championship.
That's why everybody
once.
is so mad at Detroit.
I mean, Detroit's been the worst franchise in the NFL for 40 years. I mean, with Jared Goff has got them thinking that they could even get to a Super Bowl. That in and itself makes him worth every penny they're paying. So Good for him. And good for the Lions.
Yeah, he seems like he found a good home in Detroit.
It's working out beautifully.
The Cali boy in Detroit doing it.
He is. He is. Sean McVay's no longer throwing him under the bus, so he feels better about himself.
Number two. And he beat the Rams in the playoffs, which made it better for him.
Yes, you're right. All right. This one, we're going to go football the rest of the way, but everyone, you know, was shocked by the Falcons drafting Michael Penix Jr. in the first round of the NFL draft. Even their current quarterback, Kirk Cousins, was shocked, but Cousins is ready to move on. He spoke for the first time about the situation in an interview with Bussin' with the Boys podcast released today. When asked whether there was any beef with the Falcons over drafting Penix, Cousins said, quote, "I don't think there can be. I don't think it's helpful. We're trying to win a Super Bowl, and it's hard enough. Let's all be on the same page and try and go win a Super Bowl," end quote. Now, Chris is up first here. Do you think he is really ready to move on?
Kirk Cousins is the world's second nicest guy.
He really is.
And I'm not really sure who's ahead of him, to be honest with you. This is really a nice thing to say. And, you know, it's probably the only thing he can say under the circumstances. But I don't 100% believe him. I think that, you know, he's got to feel some type of way about the Falcons already drafting his replacement before he's even taken a single snap for the franchise. And he has 4 years on his contract. So that would have to bother you. And unless you're just, you know, you got ice water in your vein. I mean, if he's a human being, last I checked.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins. So this,
he might be a robot.
This has got to bother him. It has to bother him. But he said the only thing he can say. And I want to add one more thing. Who are the Bussin' with the Boys podcast, and how do they get a guy like Kirk Cousins on the show?
Because Taylor Lewan played in the NFL for a long time.
Oh, it's Taylor. That's the lineman, isn't it?
Yeah, I think. Let me just
confirm. He was with the Titans.
Yes, he was. He was with the Titans, and I'm just going to Bussin' with the Boys on Google right now.
Because if you remember, I think he got into it with the one cornerback.
Yeah, yes. It's Will Compton and Taylor Lewan is
two really, really big names in the history of the game of football. I might add.
Taylor Lewan is
You know who these guys are?
I do know who he is. Tony knew he was a Titan offensive lineman just by knowing his name.
All right.
I think we knew about him because he was kind of crying sour grapes and outspoken as well.
I think
crying sour grapes a term?
Nope, never heard of crying sour grapes.
Okay, well then now it is. It's when someone is
double frustrated,
stupid, crying over sour grapes.
Crying sour grapes.
Yes, yes. Tony, do you think Kirk Cousins is really ready to move on?
Yeah, I do. I think. I mean, in that same interview, he said that they did give him a heads up that they might take a quarterback if there was one available.
He didn't believe
Now, maybe he didn't expect it to be in the first round, but he according to him, he indicated that he knew he wasn't like completely taken by surprise. That being said, I think he's right. Like, if he's sitting here worrying about who's behind him, and he's got another 4 years on this deal. Just seems like that's kind of counterproductive, not for him, like not worrying about the job in hand and worrying about was it Michael Penix?
Yes.
Junior. I don't think that does him any good. So it makes sense to me that he's ready to move on and focus on football.
I think he's definitely doing and saying the right thing, Tony, but I got to believe that there's part of Kirk Cousins that says, I can't say I'm disappointed with their move, because then I'm admitting that I was stupid enough to sign with a stupid franchise, which is exactly what I think he's realized and just trying to.
You get all that, huh?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, man, I really made a mistake. I can't believe I signed with these yo-yos. Look what they just did.
They gave him a lot of money. That's what they did.
I was about to say, that's why he signed, because they gave him a boatload of cash.
Yeah, well, somebody else smarter would have given him maybe a little less.
You know, the GM
He probably didn't. There's, you know what? He himself took advantage of how dumb they are by getting so much money.
I was just getting ready to say that.
And again, it's not Michael Penix's fault that he was drafted by the Falcons. It was actually maybe one of the most exciting things of his life. And
right, because he was supposed to go like second round, wasn't he?
Yeah, second round, third round. People were crushing him for being taken. It's like, yes, he decided to be taken.
So in one swoop, right, Cousins is able to take advantage of the stupidity, and in the other swipe, he gets hit by their stupidity.
Yes, he's a victim of the stupidity.
Do you hear this, Adam Klug? Your franchise is kind of a mess sometimes.
Well, he agrees with that. I mean, Adam Klug.
He would be running in here right now telling us he agreed with
sure.
that.
Sure.
One. All right, so here's our favorite. An anonymous source told a writer for a publication called Go Long, which I have never heard of, Justin Fields did not get along with two veteran quarterbacks brought into Chicago to help him. Those quarterbacks were Nick Foles and Andy Dalton. According to this anonymous source, Fields and Foles did not like each other in the slightest, even citing a time when Foles was trying to teach Fields something, and Fields wasn't even paying attention, which angered Foles. Again, these are anonymous rumors, but we have been talking a lot about the anti-Justin Fields reports out there. Chris, I'm going to ask this now. When there's smoke, is there fire?
I'm not going to comment on stuff from unnamed anonymous sources.
Okay, good.
I'm above that. You know, I really feel like I'm above that in this day and age.
You so, are?
Not normally. But, I mean, how can I comment on... I mean, look, if Justin Fields... If you could show me or prove to me that Justin Fields was so arrogant that he wouldn't even talk or listen to anything Nick Foles or Andy Dalton had to say, then I'm going to, you know, rip Justin Fields. But if all of this is totally ridiculous and made up, which it very well could be, then I'm going to stay a big Justin Fields fan. And the fact of the matter is, I don't really know. And, you know, if you're going to be an unnamed source and you're going to make claims like this, I'd rather not listen to them.
Yeah, you got to put your name on something like this if you're really going to make that news break.
I mean, here's my thought. The unnamed source themselves is arrogant and irresponsible. How do you like that?
Everflus or something?
Whoever it is.
Tony, when there's smoke, is there fire?
No. What we do know is when things don't work out and they've gone the way they've gone, no matter who it is, it's like clockwork. They leave or they get traded, and here comes the story behind it.
There you go.
Their unnamed sources saying he didn't do this in the locker room, or he didn't do this on the practice
field. Leave him alone, Bears.
It's like all. I mean, it's not even just Josh. It's not even just Fields. It's like literally every situation that doesn't work out, where you know it's all peaches and roses, right?
Yeah.
Where it's just like, you know, had a great career, or he did some good stuff while he was here. If it didn't work out, people are going to trade, right? They make the trade. People are already like, we don't think you should trade him. So in order to save face, what do you got? That throw some dirt on his name a little bit, make it seem like he wasn't really that good of a teammate. And This is like you can almost predict. It's almost predictable that it's going to come.
How many tweets did we get last year from people who didn't want to put their name on the fact that they felt there was a rift somewhere and everywhere in the Padres clubhouse that was keeping them from being as good as they should have been?
100%.
How many times did we hear that one last year? Because Tony's right. It always happens when the team is, you know, not performing to the level they, you know, people expect.
All right. That's it for the Big Five. And stick around for the 5 o'clock half hour, because we have a very special interview with Kirk Kenny, and you're going to want to find out what he did, because it was pretty incredible. So we'll talk to him in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll also talk about this game tonight between the Padres and the Rockies on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.